court appointed is meant to be for entertainment purposes and basic legal information only.
Nothing in this podcast should be considered as legal representation nor legal advice.
Only use the knowledge presented herein to dazzle your friends or possibly win bar trivia. Welcome to Court Appointed, Two Dudes' Perspective on Legal Frivolity. I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurl. And I am just a dude. Ho, 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 little buddy. It's almost that time of the year.
I know, my favorite morning.
1 week away, and Santa will have come to see you if you were a good boy.
I think he comes if you're a bad boy, too. He just leaves you a lump of coal.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess that's true. So maybe Trump will put everybody back to work selling coal, huh?
Maybe he outsources that. If I was Santa, I would outsource the coal delivery.
You think our coal comes from China? Oh, not the outsource of the delivery, not the outsource of the purchasing of it.
Yeah. Well, it allegedly is mine cheaper over there, so it might be cheaper. I don't know.
Well, you know, somebody on the Still Buffering page was talking about when Sydney was telling a story about when she had to do a science test, and she, not a test at school, but a project,
a science experiment project.
Yeah, and she needed coal for it, and I brought her home coal, and they're saying, like, where does somebody just get coal? And somebody else said, well, they're in West Virginia. It just pops up out of the ground.
That's true.
Yeah, it just pops up. You just walk around and pick up lumps of coal wherever you go.
I was on some road, I think it was maybe a week ago, and I was just driving along over where they had the cutout, where they cut the road in, so it's you can see the different strata, and there was just a seam of coal there.
Yeah, you'll see them sometimes along the interstate where they cut through a mountain or something.
Also, I remember seeing them on the, seeing them on the railroad track, too, when you're walking along.
Oh, yeah, there's always coal spillage along the tracks.
They bounce out. How much spillage comes out of the cars, do you know, off the top of your head?
Oh, there's tons scattered along the tracks, and it also depends. The lump coal is more likely to spill. Most of the time now, though, they powder the coal, and it comes out powdered, and then they coat it on top of the car. They run it under a spray that basically puts like a plastic coating to hold it all together so you don't get the coal dust blowing off down the roads.
Wow, that's pretty much amazing. I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. It's a very sophisticated operation, and that stuff is actually made from a vegetable derivative or something so that it's, you know, biodegradable when it does come out.
Learn something new every day.
Well, there you go. 21 years on the railroad learned me something. But anyway, back to Christmas.
Yeah.
We don't want to hear about the lumps of coal. We want to hear about jolly old Saint Nick coming down the chimney and bringing good toys to all the good boys and girls.
Well, this episode, we're going to talk about Santa Claus and his annual tirade of mayhem fueled crossing countries and breaking laws.
That's right. If he was in Utah or whatever, they might get him for causing a catastrophe.
That's right. Because if you think about it, Santa Claus, this guy, he's operating above the law because...
That's because the North Pole is above everything, right?
That's true.
If he was in Australia, he'd be below the law.
Can he be below the law?
Well, if you're down under, I guess so.
Well,
have to ask Leon Keith about that.
That's right. Our Australian connection. But he operates above the law. He breaks all kinds of laws, in theory, about when he comes on his rampage.
And you know what? We just turn our heads and act like we don't notice because we want the gifts.
That's true.
We should stand up and say, we will have no more of this. We will not have this jolly old elf come breaking in our homes on the 25th of each December.
That sounds a little bit more ominous when you put it that way.
Well, it is ominous. How'd you like to have a big fat guy come down your chimney unannounced?
I don't think I'd like that very much at all.
Well, there you go. But yet we allow it. And he just gives us some gifts and we turn our head and look the other way and when we don't file charges.
Quid pro quo.
That's right.
Let's start about his base of operations.
His base of operation at the North Pole, where he runs his sweatshop filled with little elves.
That's right.
He's just like a big, fat, jolly Kathy Lee Gifford and her sweatshop that employs little foreign children that put together her clothes.
Well, I understand, like, maybe with electronics, it might be beneficial to have somebody with smaller hands working on them, but I guess maybe she's going for the cheap labor.
That's right. He's got them enslaved up there. It might be the last form of slavery. But the thing is when I wonder if he actually complies with OSHA. Now, OSHA is the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, and they oversee all manufacturing and plant safety and all that. So, you know, one of the things that they do, they are the ones responsible for drug testing of employees. Now, have you ever seen any of these elves, and they don't have, like, rosy cheeks, and they're really jolly, really happy?
No, they're always just smiling away.
I guarantee you they're token in the back room.
You think?
You've got high elves.
High elves?
High elves.
That's actually, I think, a class in Dungeons & Dragons.
High elves?
Yeah. They're the ones that are like, well, I don't think they're high because they're high. They're high because they're
These are majestic. High elves. They have no class.
So you think they're like the employees, the local pizza shop.
That's right.
In the back room.
Yeah. How else could they be that jolly all the time? And then they're working, you know, for practically nothing. That's another thing that OSHA governs is their pay, overtime, vacation, workers' comp, benefits. All that comes under there. And I think that should be held up to scrutiny. How much do you think those guys make?
I don't know. I mean, do you think the OSHA standards apply to elves who are cobbling toys at the North Pole?
Absolutely. They're producing a product, aren't they?
Yeah.
And that product is going out into the open market.
It is in the stream of commerce.
That's right. It's interstate commerce.
That's right.
Well, international commerce.
Yeah.
So it's subject to the same rules. But yet these poor, poor people are working unprotected at the North Pole under the harshest of circumstances.
I wonder if he pays them in some sort of like a script, like they used to pay the coal miners.
Yeah, they probably had to go spend it at the company store.
Yeah.
So Santa is like one of the old coal mine bosses.
That's right. He's like, oh, come to the company store and buy a Coke. I'll let you look at my polar bear while you're there, too.
Yeah, he hands them their money at payday, and they turn around and hand it right back to him so they can have somewhere to sleep and eat.
And the only way they suffer through this existence is by getting high in the back room while they make toys.
That's all they can do. They probably grow their own stuff.
Probably.
Elf green.
Elf green.
Elf green.
High elf green.
That's what I'm betting. Noel.
So
Noel sticks.
Do you think they should form a little union?
They should. It would be a little union. Yes, we need a little union right this very minute. That's what it's in the Christmas Carol.
OSHA Elf, the musical.
Yeah. And that also OSHA is responsible for their safety guidelines and their PPE. How do you think they comply with their PPE?
What is PPE?
Personal protective equipment. Have you ever seen an elf with a hard hat or safety glasses?
Not since Halloween.
Not since Halloween? You saw some then? And I guarantee you, those curly shoes, there's no way they're steel toes. Those little curly Q things, they don't have steel in those things.
They might have like a brass bell on the end of them, but I don't think that's for protective measures.
No, that's not for protective measures. That just rings as the heavy object falls on their foot and crushes their little toes to pieces. So they're definitely not in compliance with OSHA. You know, the other thing about it is wouldn't you say in all the pictures you've seen of the North Pole that there are more than 50 employees?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, then they better have health care, because that's one of the mandates of Obamacare. If you run a small business or a large business, if you run a business and you have more than 50 employees, you've got to provide health care. I've never seen any of those guys at the doctor's office.
No.
I mean, you think Hermy takes care of all of them? He's just a dentist.
Who's Hermy?
You know, Hermy, Rudolph's friend, and Yukon Cornelius. Hermy, the elf that wants to be a dentist. He doesn't want to build toys.
Oh.
And the Island of Misfit Toys and all that.
Oh.
That's a classic. Surely you're familiar with that.
I'm not, and don't call me Shirley. I've always wanted to say that.
Well, there you go. You got your chance, Leslie Nielsen.
No, I did watch that when I was younger. I haven't watched it. I don't have children, so I haven't watched that in years.
I watch it every year. I have it recorded.
Well, you have children.
And grandchildren.
Well, there you go.
They all have to watch it.
It's just me and my dog.
The amazing thing about Bumbles is Bumbles bounce.
You're just going to keep throwing these over my head.
Oh, well, that's the That's the big Bigfoot monster there.
Oh, yeah.
He calls him the, Yukon calls him the Bumble.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite ones. That was the claymation with the, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, that was a classic.
Yeah, I haven't seen that in a long time.
And then they also, OSHA covers workplace violence. Now, with all this toy making going on and the crushing stress and the long hours that they work, it would not be too hard to imagine one of these elves going postal at the North Pole.
Yeah, I could see that happening.
I mean, under pressure, and the little guy just snaps. I don't know. He runs around hitting everybody over the head with candy canes or breaks one off to make like a sharp point and starts stabbing people with candy canes or something. I mean, elf violence, it's all over the internet.
Well, he hits them on the head with a comically oversized mallet.
Yeah, and it honks when it hits them.
Yeah, so, that's a good point.
And all of them are scared. I mean, even though the OSH Act of 1970 expanded the whistleblower laws to protect people when they're reporting, do you think any of them would pick up the phone and report the big guy?
I bet they don't have any means of communication up there. That's
why they got him cut off.
That's why he picked that. He isolated them up there.
You see them walk around with their little candy cane cell phones. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Someone,
can you hear me now?
Someone help me, please. Please.
I need help. Help.
Get me out of this hellhole.
Oh, where are you at?
The North Pole. I'm an elf.
That's a good one.
Nobody would believe him.
That's a shame. The Forgotten Society elves.
Well, now, jurisdictionally, the North Pole is that in Canada? Who owns the North Pole? Or is that Antarctica?
The North Poleans.
The North Poleans?
Yeah. That's my best guess. I don't know. Only other people I've seen up there are penguins.
Napoleon Bonaparte?
Napoleon Bonaparte.
He's the emperor. Well, I wonder who where the jurisdiction is, because what laws apply up there? Maybe it's like the zone of death that we talked about earlier.
Well, the triangle of death.
The triangle of death. Maybe it's like,
I think you're right. It was the zone of death. I don't know. Something like that.
Yeah.
In the, where was that? The Grand Canyon?
I think it was, no, it wasn't the Grand Canyon. I think it was up, where was it? North Dakota or something like that, where there's jurisdictionally, there's no boundaries.
I think it's the Grand Canyon.
No, I can't remember. We'll have to listen to one of our old episodes.
Here, we got to listen to ourselves. Maybe, we don't do that very much.
Maybe Santa picked the North Pole because it's like the zone of death up there. There's no law.
It's just a free zone. It's a free-for-all.
Yeah, it's a free-for-all. He can do whatever he wants up there. He can have monkey knife fights if he wants.
That's where the monkey knife fights originated. Maybe, just like the Ted Nugent song. It's a free-for-all.
Maybe he has elf knife fights up there.
Well, you know, probably that's what they do to relieve stress. It's probably, you know, and if they die, life is cheap. Life is cheap. It's either work all day, slave away in the toy store, or die in a monkey knife fight. I'd pick the latter.
Well, after these toys are cobbled by these poor elves.
These poor, forgotten society.
Santa probably has them load them up on his sled, and then begins cruising around, delivering these toys, which I don't think are probably inspected by anybody. There's probably no inspection going on these toys.
They're not FDA approved.
They're probably using lead paint. Who knows?
Could be.
I don't know. He begins delivering them.
Red dye number 12.
Yeah, number 12, my favorite. And he begins delivering these toys all across the world. So, number one, is Santa even a pilot? Do you think he has his pilot's license?
I don't believe he has a license.
I mean, if he's flying around, he should be a pilot, shouldn't he?
Who approved him? Who was there? There has to be an expert in the process of flying a sleigh to authorize him. Who would this person have been?
I couldn't tell you.
John Glenn?
Maybe. Well, and also, I mean, if he's flying around at night, he should have some sort of light marking him out so something doesn't
run. He's got Rudolph's nose.
Right, but what does he put on the back?
Rudolph's ass.
Well, no, I mean, there should be some sort of blinking indicators, right? You know.
Blinking indicators. He probably makes the poor elves hang off the back holding lanterns or something. I don't think he has any rear-end markers, Michael. I think he's in complete violation.
I think you're probably right. And I know once he enters U.S. airspace, he would definitely fall under the FAA for their regulations.
And I don't know much about the regulations, but I do know this. You have to have a flight plan.
Yeah.
I doubt that he has a flight plan. I mean, a registered one. He might know where he's going. That's not the same thing, knowing where you're going and having a flight plan. You have to file that.
Oh, absolutely. And let me ask you this. If he's crossing all these different boundaries, shouldn't he register with customs as he crosses into these different countries?
You would think so. And some of these countries have no fly zones.
That's right.
That's got nothing to do with your zipper.
Button flies only, please. Button flies only.
Butt flies?
Button flies.
Oh, button flies.
Yes.
Look at your butt flies.
Butt flies, butt flies.
Butt flies, don't bother me. Butt flies. What? I belong to somebody.
Butt flies, don't bother me. That's going to be stuck in my head now. I don't even know why.
They're usually stuck in your butt.
Well, I assume, too, if he comes into, if he would stop at these customs and these different borders, he would probably have to declare all these toys he's transporting across these international lines. And
but that's the problem. He's not stopping and declaring.
No.
I think he's just willy-nilly flying here to there.
Yeah. Who does this guy think he is?
Santa Claus.
There are no laws for Santa Claus.
I think I heard that in a song once.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be true. So, about these toys, though, they're really concerning to me because these end up in the children's hands. And I think there should be some sort of inspection for Santa's toys.
Absolutely.
I mean, what do you think he's making these things with? Where does he get his
raw materials?
Yeah, the raw materials. How do they get transported to the North Pole? I don't think there's sufficient infrastructure to get it up there.
According to Trump, they're coming from the Chinese.
Yeah, probably. This whole thing just seems a little fishy to me.
Yeah, yeah. What's up? He's got to be greasing some palms to get deep discounts.
Greasing palms to get deep.
Greasing palms. Santa's greasing palms.
Well, now once he comes to individuals' homes, the question is he doing anything illegal at that point?
Let's see. A guy comes into your house unannounced in the middle of the night. Without you knowing about it, you don't see him. Let's see. That sounds a little shady.
I agree. It sounds very shady.
I wonder what statutes that might violate.
Well, I mean, it could be considered possibly a trespass or a burglary, a breaking and entering. I mean, any of these type things could possibly apply.
I would have to think the minimum would be a trespass.
Yeah, a minimum would be a trespass. In West Virginia, trespass is covered under West Virginia Code 61-3B3, and that's basically a criminal trespass when you enter and occupy another person's property without their permission.
Yeah, and generally, it's not necessary to prove harm to a possessor's legally protected interest. It's just the fact that they were there.
Right. The one interesting thing, though, if you think about it, is Santa Claus really trespassing? Is did he have permission to be on your property? Because if you think about it, if you are essentially leaving a door open for him, or maybe leaving your chimney open for him, I guess you hear maybe you close the...
Who closes their chimney?
I don't know.
I mean, you could close the flue, but you don't do that in the winter because you're going to burn a fire probably.
That's true. Well, if you leave out milk and cookies for him, though, they're for him.
Yeah, but now wait a minute. That enters a whole nother realm.
Okay.
Either blackmail or extortion.
Why is that?
Well, it's a, you get the inference that, hey, you got to leave him cookies and milk or he might not leave you the goods. So he's kind of blackmailing you into that. I think he's got a cookie fetish there or something like that, you know? So you feel like, well, I've got to leave him out or the fat guy's going to pass the kids by.
Well, it could be considered consideration.
Consideration?
Yeah, consideration is basically the what you are bargaining for in a deal.
Oh, I thought you meant that you're just being considerate because he's flying around in the cold all night long.
Well, that too.
So you're saying that in a way, if you leave the milk and cookies, that that's an invitation for him to come in?
It could be, yeah.
Allows him to be there.
If I was Santa Claus's defense attorney and I was facing criminal trespass charges, I would say...
They expected him.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, my client was not trespassing. They put out milk and cookies for him. They wanted him to come in.
But they did it out of fear.
Oh.
That if he came in and they weren't there, they'd get coal.
Oh, so you think it was unconscionable? There was actually no...
Yeah. Oh. It wasn't a fair deal.
Yeah, you never know.
They felt they were forced into it.
A contract of adhesion?
A contract with the devil. Satan clause.
Satan clause?
That's right. Well, if you switch a couple letters around, that's what you get.
The other thing, too, is that if a child has sent off a letter to Santa Claus telling him what he wants or she wants for Christmas.
You're not going to tell me that means they invited the Santa Claus in.
It could be. It could be like vampires. My
God, we've got to end this practice at once.
Yeah,
that's right. Just like a vampire, they can't come into your house unless you invite them.
Yeah. Maybe Santa Claus is a vampire.
He could be. He's a red. He's got dressed in red.
That's true. I've never seen his teeth.
It's because they're hidden behind that big woolly beard.
Maybe that's why. And you never see him during the day. He's usually only out at night.
He's only out at night. Other than I have seen some depictions of him wearing a Hawaiian shirt and Bermuda shorts and laying in a beach chair on the beach.
I think I have a Christmas tree ornament like that, actually.
Yeah. So, I mean, somebody's seen him somewhere doing that, I suppose.
That's true. So
Santa in the off season.
Well, maybe he's just like one of those Twilight vampires. He just gets kind of sparkly.
He's laying on the beach. Those elves are back there working year-round.
That's true.
They don't just work at Christmas time. Santa works one night a year. Those elves don't get a day off, I guarantee you. That's 365, man. They're getting it.
They need to form a little union. So I don't know if a trespass charge is going to stick against him. I just think there's some...
Well, now it depends. If you don't write a letter, you don't leave the milk and cookies, it looks a little bit better for you.
You lock all the doors.
Lock all the doors, close your flue on your chimney.
Or have a big fire roaring in there.
Yeah. Of course, it could be like the big bad wolf.
And blow it out.
Yeah, I guess, or land in your pot of stew or whatever.
Yeah, so I mean, you might have a better claim against trespass than if you do all those things or don't do all those things.
Well, I'd hope so.
Or if you spray paint on top of your roof, Santa, don't land here. I've seen those signs that you can buy.
Yeah.
Say, Santa, land here. Put up a warning, an explicit warning. Santa, do not land here.
Or you will be shot.
Yep.
We are in West Virginia, where everyone over the age of 21 can carry a gun.
That's true.
So enter at your own risk.
Open carry state.
Very open.
Yeah, I guess Sydney and Mary just saw somebody at Walmart being very open with a firearm, I guess.
Yes, and it was very disturbing to them. That happened to me when I was a kid.
What's that?
We went down to play Logan in a football game when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. We got down there a little bit early, so the coach let us leave the field and go walking around downtown for about an hour to kill before we came back to get ready for the game. We went walking in a place. Here was a guy with a holster and a gun on it. I'd never seen a guy carrying a gun in the open except in a Western movie.
Right.
And there was a guy carrying a gun, and I decided, this is not the kind of place we want to be. Let's go back.
Yeah.
So we went back. We decided we didn't want to walk around town, so we went back. And just to give you a gist of the way things are thought of down there, we played that game. We beat them, and as we beat them, we were trying to get – we didn't even stop to change because the crowd was coming down after us. So we just went and got directly on the school bus, and as we were going out, they were throwing bricks at the windows and everything, and the cheerleaders were giving us the finger on the way out and yelling things at us and everything. And that's not the kind of place you wanted to hang around there loosely.
This is you're at Huntington East?
Yeah.
Get yourself back to Huntington.
Yeah, get back to Huntington. We didn't even change. We just grabbed our clothes and got on the bus in our dirty uniforms.
Quick getaway.
Yeah, before they... got us with their pitchforks and torches.
So the other possible thing that Santa might be doing is burglary. And burglary is generally defined as breaking and entering of a structure with the intent to commit a crime therein. Some states define it as during the nighttime, during the day, but generally it's like basically you break and enter somebody's house with the intent to commit a crime. So really you have to look at if Santa is just coming in and he has permission to be there through one of our cookies and milk or letters. So he has permission to be there. Could he still be considered breaking and entering if he's not committing any other crime in there? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. And breaking and entering, it usually says you have to cause some kind of harm or threat or something like that.
Yeah.
I guess if you just, you know, came walking groggily from your bed to go to the kitchen to get a midnight snack and you ran into a fat guy standing in your living room, you could consider that a threat. But if you slept right through it, I don't know.
So I don't know. I don't think the burglary actually fits this, what he's doing.
Burglary or breaking and entering.
Now, if he was coming to take toys, then maybe he would be stealing. So,
well, but he doesn't do that.
He leaves toys.
Yeah.
So probably not a burglary, I don't think.
No, couldn't say it was a burglary. Couldn't say it was breaking and entering either. No. Now, I may be wrong, but I thought there was a law that was entering without breaking, but I couldn't find that.
Oh, where like the doors open, you just kind of walk in?
Yeah. Isn't that such a thing? It's like they call it that, entering without breaking or something like that?
I think I've...
Or is that just trespassing?
I think that would be a trespass in general.
Okay, maybe that's what it is, but I don't know. Maybe somebody phrased it that way.
There may be a law out there, and there, at common law, too. And that's the one thing is that when you're talking about criminal law, you have common law, which was handed down through the ages from English law to form the basis of our American law, our American jurisprudence. And a lot of these things like burglary and trespass, they come from, those are considered common law definitions. But each state has their own statute or code which defines what that crime is. So while at common law, burglary was considered breaking, entering into the home, into the dwelling of another in the nighttime with intent to commit a crime therein. And so basically, you could not burgle somebody under common law during the day. And that's kind of a one of those trick questions you might see on a bar exam, because the bar exam tests common law, because it just wants you to read that one specific body of law. And so these common law definitions, they don't always apply, but they're kind of like the general theory as to what the law is. So burglary is the one in particular that, you know, it deals with that.
Common law covers burglary and buggery.
Yeah.
So if you pass a bar exam, is that the same as winning bar trivia?
Kind of, because really all these questions are just, especially the multi-state bar exam, is like all these terrifically hard multiple choice questions which are intended to trick you. So it's like becoming a common law trivia expert.
So if I could go in and win a bar trivia expert or bar trivia competition, I could probably be a lawyer.
Sure, go for it.
Yeah, see if that stands up, dude.
Yeah. No, the to take the bar exam, it's a lot of intense studying. I can't remember how many questions I how many multi-choice questions I did when I studied for it, because it's been almost like 14 years ago. Time has flown. But I think I did. I think the test itself is 200, or at the time it was 200 multiple choice questions. And I think I did somewhere in the neighborhood of like 5,000 questions in preparation for it. So,
man.
Yeah, I was just doing a lot of studying.
I guess so. So no wonder I wasn't a lawyer. I couldn't think that much. Thinking makes my head hurt. I try to talk without thinking, because otherwise it'd just be a wreck up there.
Well, lawyering's hard.
That's right. I heard somebody say that once.
Was that me?
Yeah, that was you.
I wonder what I was saying that about.
Well, I think you were having to study for a test and you really wanted to continue drinking or go out surfing.
That was a choice I had to make.
Yep.
Well, another thing is Santa's sled. Let's look at this thing.
All right, so let's look at his sled. Now, have you ever seen the movie Elf?
Yes.
They contend that there's a rocket propulsion unit underneath the sled. I have never seen this rocket propulsion unit in any other depiction of Santa's sleigh.
I mean, he could have one. He'd have to have a serious amount of speed to travel across the globe.
And the way they depicted it, it was like it was atomic powered or something. Do you think this thing has been approved by the atomic agency or something that they have that manages all radioactive stuff?
Well, let's call it the Atomic Energy Commission, because I don't really know what it's called.
But hey, that sounds right.
That sounds right.
AEC.
Yeah. So, AEC.
Atomic Energy Commission.
Which is probably not what it's called.
I think I've heard of that, though. That really does ring a bell somewhere in the foggy recesses of my brain.
Well, I don't know. This is completely unverified. So, yeah, but I'm sure it's not regulated by the AAC or any other verifiable state entity that regulates said rocket atomic power.
Yeah, it's a regulating agency.
Yeah. So I was thinking more about the reindeer themselves, though.
Oh, the reindeer themselves.
Whenever you have wild animals like that, or not domestic animals as they were, there's certainly got to be some sort of quarantine laws going from continent to continent. I know that you can't even bring like fruit or things like that into Hawaii and different places like that because they're scared about different diseases it might cause. So, I mean, he's got these animals. He's flying them all over the place. He's probably spreading animal disease wherever he goes.
Oh, it's not because the animals are smuggling fruits, huh?
No, probably not. Well, I don't know.
I'll tell you one thing they're smuggling and leaving all the place.
What's that?
Reindeer pellets.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. You ever had to clean up reindeer poop?
Not that I know of.
Me neither, but it's probably not nice.
If they're like any other kind of deer or animal like that, they poop a lot.
Rabbits poop like 10 times their body weight a day or something like that.
Yeah.
They're awful.
Is that an actual stat?
Yeah, we bought a rabbit that once, and Mary told me that this thing was a mini, and it would never get any bigger than it was when we bought it, and it was like you could hold it in the palm of your hand.
Aw.
By the time we finally found someone to take it off our hands, I swear it weighed 50 pounds, and it would, like, fill up the cage with poop 3 times a day. I mean, you literally had to go out and dump it. It was so full. It was unbelievable. I mean, I said, we got to quit feeding that thing. This is getting out of hand.
Did you only have one?
Yeah, just one. You'd have thought we owned a horse, though.
Well, I know if you have more than one, they multiply. That's like...
No, we only had one. If it had multiplied, we'd have been buried. The house would have been buried in rabbit pellets. If reindeer or anything like rabbits, you got a mess on your hands. No wonder the gutters are clogged.
Yeah, it usually happens in the wintertime, too.
Yeah, and it'll roll down. You know, they're on the peak of the house. It's going to roll down. You know, it's just like they say. Poop rolls downhill, and I'm living in the valley.
Oh, that reminds me of your favorite joke. You know what I'm talking about?
Last thing I remember was a poor monkey trying to put the cork back.
Oh, no. The one about the guys in hell drinking coffee.
Oh, coffee breaks over.
I think you should tell that
joke. Back on your heads.
You should tell that joke. That's like.
I don't think that's very Christmassy.
No, you're probably right.
Yeah, well, let's skip that. That's my Christmas gift to you, listeners. I will not tell that joke.
I think you should tell it at a later point, though.
Yeah, sometime maybe. We're still on the air.
Yeah. I don't know why, but that joke cracks me up. And I try to tell it probably once a week. I really do. And I never pull it off as well as you do, I don't think.
I used to be better at that. Jokes were a regular part of my life. Now I am the joke.
It's the circle of life.
That's right.
Hakuna Matata, Tommy.
I've come to be known for what I used to be known for, or something like that. I don't even know what I'm saying.
My one question I have, too, is how does Santa finance this whole operation?
He's got to be money laundering.
Exactly. He seems to have an immense amount of wealth, although he has no source of income.
He's got to be either extorting people. He's getting something besides the cookies from somewhere.
That's true.
Or, I don't know, maybe he's running drugs. It's those high elves. They're selling the drugs as well.
Do you think they're in on it?
Well, they could be.
I don't know.
Must be.
Or do you think he just has them being like, his like drug working horde.
Drug mules.
Yeah, I was going to say drug mules, but really.
Hey, you'd have to send 50 of them across just to get a decent amount of drugs in. They're so little, you couldn't stuff much in them.
Maybe that's what's in their curly shoes.
Maybe that's what caused their shoes to curl. They shoved too much up there.
Could be. But regardless, I think it's.
Bend over, you little bastard. You're not full yet. So like Mr. Bill.
But I think there's enough evidence there for the FBI to get involved and start questioning the source of his income.
I'll tell you when you're full.
I'm trying to move along here. We keep talking about inserting things in elves.
I was thinking there had to be a Nutcracker reference in there somewhere, but I'm not finding it.
Trying to work it in.
Yeah.
One quote I forgot to mention earlier, circling back to Santa breaking into houses.
Circle back.
There was a Doctor Who special in 2014, and it had Santa Claus on there, and they asked him, they asked Santa if he could do something, and his response was, "I can commit 16 million house breaks in one night dressed in a red suit with jingle bells." So he's like, "I think I can handle it."
That's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
I like Doctor Who. It's very cleverly written.
It is. It's a good show.
The show is a very smart show.
I need to watch more of it. It's one of those shows that, for some reason, I never think to watch, but I always enjoy when I watch it.
I've been missing it since they've been on this big break.
Yeah?
The only thing they've got is the Christmas special this year. Mary asked me the other day, when does the Christmas special air? Christmas. The answer is Christmas. That's why it is called the Christmas special.
Well, it'll probably air a week ahead in England, because they're like a week ahead of us, aren't they, in time or something like that?
Time zone. Australia is like 14 hours ahead or something. That's why you can never visit there. By the time you'd fly there, it's already tomorrow, so you missed it.
Yeah, I went to New Zealand. I missed a whole day.
Yeah, that's right. Besides being drunk, huh?
No, I wasn't drunk.
Don't they? I used to watch a show called Flight of the Condors.
Oh, Flight of the Concords.
Concords?
Yeah.
Concords, yeah, that's right. And they used to always make fun of people from New Zealand. Like the Australians look down on New Zealanders or something. I don't know. Yeah. I don't get that. I don't understand.
Well, they're from New Zealand.
But they always make fun of them and act like the Australian ones are okay. It's the New Zealanders that are funny. There was one guy that was their buddy, and they said, he's from New Zealand.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can't remember how that goes, but I wanted to find out. I got to ask Leon about that. What's up with that?
They're pretty funny, though. They have a lot of good stuff out there besides just the Flight of the Conchords.
And I've seen those guys on some other things since then.
Yeah, they did. That is one vampire movie. It's actually pretty funny.
Yeah, those guys are hilarious. And they sing well, too.
They do. They have that song, Business Time.
Yeah.
You heard that song?
I think I have.
It's like, I can tell it's business time. Is it okay if I leave my socks on or something like that?
Pretty clever. Yeah. Once again, we veered from the point.
Yeah, well, you know, that's okay.
Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas.
All right, now there's one that I've been holding on here that I don't see how we can get around.
Let it rip.
Santa is definitely guilty of stalking.
Stalking?
Stalking. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. Now, the rest of that, I think, goes, or he'll slip in your bedroom and slit your throat. Isn't that how that works?
I don't think that's how that song goes.
Something along those lines. But, I mean, he knows when you've been sleeping. He's looking in your damn windows. Is that not stalking? He's looking in your windows. He knows when you're awake. He's keeping tabs on you. He's tracking you and following you around. I mean, he may not be making contact with you, but that's okay. It's still stalking.
Yeah, that's true.
Keeping notes about you. He must have some kind of psychotic diary. He's probably got a closet. When you open it up, it's got pictures of you up on there and everything. Is Michael must die. You know, something along those lines.
What was that movie? It came out in the 90s with Sliver. Was that the one where the guy had the high rise and all the cameras everywhere?
I don't know. I don't remember that.
It's like he had a closet like that, though. Videotaping everywhere. Everybody knew what everybody was doing.
Yeah, that's so. What I mean. He's got to be. And I even looked up the stalking laws. Now, this was the West Virginia one. Any person who repeatedly follows another, knowing or having reason to know that the conduct causes a person followed to reasonably fear for his or her safety or suffer significant emotional distress, is guilty of a misdemeanor, and upon conviction thereof, shall be incarcerated in the county or regional jail for not more than 6 months, or fine not more than $1,000, or both. Hmm. Now, wouldn't it cause you emotional distress to know somebody's constantly watching you, and anytime you slip up, there goes my gifts. I'm not going to get anything from Santa this year.
It's going to get a lump of coal.
Yeah, that would cause you to be upset, you know, every time you made a mistake.
I'd be pretty stressed out.
Yeah. I even looked up, you know, Utah is always good in their laws.
Utah does have some good laws.
They're always very strict and on top of things. So I wanted to see what they thought about that. Acts in which the actor, I assume that doesn't mean a theatrical actor, acts in which the actor follows, monitors, observes, photographs, surveils, threatens, or communicates to or about a person or interferes with a person's property. Obviously, all of that's going on. I mean, maybe he's not taking pictures or having anything to do with personal property, but he monitors, observes, and surveils.
Or photographs.
He might photograph. Maybe Santa has a big photo catalog.
He can't know
all these names.
Read that West Virginia one again, if you don't mind.
Any person who repeatedly follows another, knowing or having reason to know that the conduct causes a person followed to reasonably fear for his or her safety or suffer significant emotional distress.
Hmm. See, I think I like the Utah one better because it talks about photography and it puts that in there too. Whereas the West Virginia one doesn't go into as much detail. I guess you can maybe interpret the West Virginia one based on just any act to say photography might be included. I don't know. I kind of like a well-tailored statute like the one in Utah.
Well, the one in Utah also goes on to say directly, indirectly, or through any third party. Now, how often do you see depicted in shows where the elves are doing the spying on the kids and report back to Santa?
Yep.
So this is covering this, too. If the elves are involved, that's still, Santa's still doing it.
It could be conspiracy, too.
That's right. let's see. When the person appears at a person's residence or contacts a person's neighbor or enters property owned, leased, or occupied by a person. All of that's attributable. That's what I say. This Utah law is very comprehensive. I tend to think if you want to find a law that's the most restrictive there is, go to Utah. That's where they have the good ones. They have left no leaf unturned, and kids don't know where booze comes from.
That's true.
For all they know, the bartender goes back there and squeezes it from his own teat to make the drinks because booze doesn't exist. That's why the curtain's there, so you don't see his teat.
The Zion curtain.
That's right. The Zion curtain protects the bartender's teat. Let's see. He places an object on or delivers an object to property owned, leased, or occupied by a person. Huh? Toys? Huh? That means he was there.
Yeah.
He's still stalking you.
He's leaving you a note like,
Immediate family means a spouse, parent, child, sibling, or any other person who regularly resides in the household. So, if he's looking out for it, and then it defines emotional distress, which means significant mental or psychological suffering, whether or not medical or professional treatment or counseling is required. So all you got to do is say, I suffered it. You don't even have to prove it or have a counselor or anybody prove it. You just have to say, I know I have it.
Yeah.
I mean, Utah law's got him nailed. I don't know about West Virginia, but in Utah, Santa's nailed.
Well, in Utah, he's nailed. In West Virginia, he might not make it out of the house.
Well, that's true because of the open carry.
Yeah. It's just West Virginia. Thinking about...
I might have lumps of coal, but you got a bullet hole.
That was pretty good Appalachian accent there, too. But if he's leaving lumps of coal, what is he doing to reduce our carbon footprint? Does he have?
Well, he's not reducing it. He's increasing it.
Yeah. Does he have carbon offsets? What about the cap and trade? What's he doing there?
He's probably buying them from some of the other states that don't burn it.
Maybe.
He's buying their coal credits.
He's buying their coal credits.
Yeah.
So he can distribute them to all the bad children.
That's right. That's the only thing I can figure. Have you ever seen the coal candy?
No.
They make licorice candy. It's a novelty. Oh. And it looks like lumps of coal.
Does it taste like black licorice?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And the other thing is it makes your lips black and your tongue's black and everything else. So when you eat it, you're a mess. It gets on your hands and everything.
Black licorice is one of those things. I think you either love it or hate it.
Oh, I like licorice.
Do you like black licorice?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I think I like... There's one liquor that tastes like liquor. I think it's Sambuca. And I kind of like it. It tastes like licorice. But I do not like black licorice just to eat.
I do. The first one I went for in the, what were those little treats? Chuckles. They were the little like gummy slices that were in there. And there was like five different colors. I always went for the licorice one first. Remember those? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't.
You know what I'm talking about? You know, with the orange fruit, the candy. That looked like orange and they had the sugar coating on the outside.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Those things where they had the ones that were, I think they were called Chuckles, and they came in a pack of five, I think it was. And they were five different flavors, and one of them was black licorice. And that was the first one I ate every time. I loved those things.
Nobody else in the house could get any black licorice.
Well, nobody else liked it. I was the only one.
Well, yeah. I'm not surprised. I didn't like those candies very much. Those oranges, I remember biting into them thinking I'd like them, and they're always kind of like,
oh, I loved them. I'd suck on them and suck all the sugar off first.
Yeah.
And then chew up the jelly part or whatever you call it.
I would do that, and then I would probably the gummy just part. Spit it out.
Oh, I liked it all. I ate it all. Your dad loved those.
Oh, I know he did.
He was a big connoisseur. I used to steal some from him when he wasn't looking. He always had a bag of them laying around. Yeah. I'd grab one or two out of there and eat them.
He loved those big orange candy peanuts, too, or whatever those things are.
Now, those I couldn't stand. Oh. I don't see the purpose of whoever made those big candy foam peanuts or whatever they are.
Yeah.
I don't even think they make them anymore. That and candy corn.
Yeah.
Two worst candies ever invented.
Oh, my dad loved all that.
And I don't know anybody else that eats that. I don't even see candy corn anymore at Halloween. It's so universally revulsed against.
Yeah. Well, you got to think, my dad probably came from an era when, like, if you got, like, a single thing, it was, like, considered a treat.
That was a treat, yeah.
His threshold for what good candy was probably considerably lower.
And the one thing he passed down to Mary, for sure, was the love of Whorehound.
Whorehound?
Yeah, Whorehound candy.
Yeah.
She's the only one I know that buys Whorehound candy. And I'm like, why do you bring that home? Nobody eats it. My daddy loved Whorehound.
Yeah.
Just don't say the word too much in front of others that don't know what you're talking about.
That stuff's not bad. I mean, I don't think I'd ever go out on my own and buy it, but no.
What's the use?
Yeah. If Mary offers me one, I'll be like, sure.
I'll crunch one down.
Yeah.
But don't give me the whole bag. What are you going to do with it?
Well, I think that's going to do it.
That's all I've got. But, I mean, at this point, we've convicted him.
Yeah, he's guilty of something. I mean, he's guilty. We've thrown everything at the wall. Something's going
to
stick.
OSHA's going to shut him down. Surely we've alerted OSHA to this.
Yep.
They got to know all the violations going on.
FBI, money laundering.
We know he's stalking people. How else would he find out if you're naughty or nice?
Yeah. His animal husbandry practices definitely need to come under scrutiny.
We didn't say that he actually did things to the animals like that, had sex with the reindeer.
I don't think that's what animal husbandry means.
Well, if you're going to husbandry somebody, that's what it sounds like to me.
I think it means raising them.
Raising them?
Taking care of them.
Oh. Well, if your raising lasts more than 4 hours, call a doctor. But what about legal briefs, 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 briefs?
So legal briefs is the part of the show where we talk about some of the terms that we discussed and kind of go over them to really pound them in there to make sure we remember them.
Not in an animal husbandry type way.
Animal husbandry does not mean what you think it means.
I mean, when you use the word pounding in animal husbandry, I'm wondering. For this Santa Laws version, I've got the ones for Michael to do.
I can't wait.
So, Michael, first question for legal briefs is, I feel so honored to do this, what is PPE?
Personal protective equipment.
You got it! Right. Yay. On it. That's your safety glasses, your hard hat, your steel-toed boots, all those type things that are involved in it.
Your boots with the curly toes that have the brass bell on the end of them.
That's right. Although I don't think those are proper PPE.
Listen, I'll tell you what's proper PPE.
Don't leave the locker room without proper PPE.
Amen.
It means PPE on an elf.
PPE on an elf.
All right. OSHA.
Occupational Safety and Hazard Act.
Close. Occupational Safety and Health Administration.
Wow.
You were close, though.
Yeah. I don't deal with OSHA too much.
Well, one more for you.
Okay.
I'll give you a chance to at least get yourself to 66%.
Hey, that's good enough.
What is the number of employees that a business has to have to supply health care to their employees?
50.
Correct.
Yeah.
You got that. Yay. Under Obamacare, if you have 50 or more employees, you must supply health care.
I didn't actually know that, but I heard you say 50, so.
You learned something.
I did.
You know what? If nothing else, Michael, if I can be a learning mechanism for you to guide you through your life, then I feel complete. My mission is served here.
Well, you've definitely guided me in ways in the past, which have not necessarily been constructive, but have been past nonetheless.
I told you not to hit the brakes before you went over that ramp. I told you you'd be eating dirt.
I think we need to film a video of me jumping off a ramp again.
That kid in that other video, that ramp was much lousier than the one I built for you, and he made it. All you had to do was just accelerate up the ramp.
That ramp that you built was like literally straight up in the air.
You needed to get all the height that you could. We were going for maximum distance.
I mean, don't you think it might have been a good idea to like kind of gradually progress me up to like a, you know, we'll put one block this time, two blocks.
Well, I mean, you know, sissies could do that, but we were going for the gusto. My name is Michael, and I ate some dirt. I went over my ramp, and it made my face hurt. Went over my handlebars, and it made my face hurt.
Oh, it made me the man I am today.
Yeah, that's true. We're still picking grass out of your teeth. Not the elf kind, either. Them elves smoking in the back room. If you don't take anything else away from this show, then take away the elf smoking in the back room so they can keep up their good humor to build the toys.
You know, I used to work at a pizza joint, right?
No.
We played with the temperature on the pizza oven enough to where a pizza would be done in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. That was the kind of stuff.
420.
Yeah, that was the kind of stuff we did when I worked at a pizza place. It was very important to get the pizza cooked down to 4 minutes and 20 seconds. And we thought that was really, really funny.
That's because you were probably smoking the stuff, and that's why it was funny to you. If you'd have been sober, it wouldn't have been funny.
Smoking pizza?
No. Smoking doobies.
No. Not smoking doobies.
Smoking doobies and making pizzas.
No, I never smoked doobies and made pizza.
Oh, okay. All right, Bill Clinton. I never inhaled. Merry Christmas to everybody. The next time we see you, Christmas will have come and gone.
Merry Christmas, everybody. I hope you have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays. And I guess Hanukkah's coming up, too, because it starts on Christmas this year, I think, doesn't it?
I have no idea.
I think I read that.
If you say so, I will believe you.
Because Hanukkah is very late this year.
My favorite thoughts of Hanukkah are Adam Sandler's song.
Oh, yeah.
The 8 crazy nights of Hanukkah or whatever it is.
Yeah. 8 crazy nights.
That is hilarious.
Yes. So, Merry Christmas. Happy Holidays to everybody out there.
Merry Christmas.
And we'll see you on the flip side of Christmas.
And don't let the fat guy bite.
Thanks to everybody for listening. And thanks to MCRB for use of their song, Doctor, Lawyer, Indian Chief.
And thanks to the McElroy Stable of Podcasts for the use of their recording studio. Their podcasts include Mabim Bam, Sawbones, and Still Buffering, as well as many other fine offerings. And please, take the time to rate and review us on iTunes, especially if you liked us. If you didn't, well, then not so much.
You're not supposed to say that.
You always edit that out, though, right?
Usually. Good. This has been Court Appointed. I'm Mike Meadows, your co-host. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurf. And I'm just a dude.